Welcome to the Inside Out Style Podcast with Imogen Lamport, your scientist of style. Each episode, you'll get real-world style advice for women of every size, shape, and age. And now, here's Imogen.
Hi, this is Imogen Lamport from Inside Out Style, coming to answer your colour and style questions. So let's see what I've got in my pot today. First question comes from Natalie, who asks, how prevalent do you feel colour impacts social perception across various cultures, both at home and when you are travelling? That is, like, things like in Asia, when mourning people wear white, in Australia we wear black. There are certain colours that are definitely associated with different cultures. For example, red is often a colour worn at weddings in parts of Asia, and that's because red is seen as more lucky and prosperous. It's not a colour in the Western world that we would wear so much, particularly as a bride at a wedding, because we have actually associated red as being the Scarlet Woman. In fact, there was a book written many years ago called The Scarlet Letter, which was all about being branded with a red A for being an adulterer. So there are some relationships between colour and perception and how they're perceived in different cultures. So definitely a red is something in the Western culture. We see red as very dynamic and powerful and energetic, versus some in Asian cultures, it's more seen as being very, lucky and prosperous. So, you know, and it's a happy colour, very successful colour. You know, you wrap your presents in red and things like that as well. Other colours, there are some associations. So, for example, green in Japan is considered to be a lucky colour because it's Emperor Hirohito's favourite colour. In America, green is associated with the greenback and therefore the dollar. So sometimes people want to have wallets in green or purses in green to keep their money in, because it's seen as something, you know, that you're likely to manifest more money when you have a green wallet. In Australia, green is often associated with a green political party, so an environmentalism. It's a colour we associate with more environmentalism. So really, there are some colours that do have some different kind of cultural perceptions across different cultures. But in the end, more of us have, you know, the world is pretty global these days. We do watch TV from all over the world. I mean, like, you think about it, in the old day, the cowboy movies, the black hat was worn by the baddie and the white hat is worn by the goodie. Interestingly now, you want to know a little tip, not about colour, but about goodies and baddies in movies. You will never see the murderer or the baddie carrying an Apple phone in movies, because Apple won't let their products be with the baddies. So there's a little tip next time you're trying to work out the whodunit. Who doesn't have the Apple phone? That might be a clue. But there you go. So it is something to think about, like, where you are. But really, it's more the natural associations that we all associate with different colours. I'm just trying to read this comment. That we associate to. So when we think about it, we have a nice blue sky. It says, safe, secure, trust me, you don't need your umbrella today. And so there, this is why blue is the world's favourite colour, because the sea and the sky are often blue, particularly when it's calm and peaceful. So it's very much a colour that says, trust me. If we think about the big black cloud comes along, and like a really dark sky, we'll often call that ominous or threatening, and therefore we give those really dark, you know, blacks and dark grays more power and authority. They're scary, more ominous, a little bit mysterious, a little, you know, all that sort of stuff. So black is not a friendly color because of what we associate it with in nature. Dark, nighttime is black. I can't see, I don't know who's around the corner, it's a little bit scary. We think about green. So where's green in nature? Well, when nature's abundant, when there's a lot of food, green is a colour. It's calming, it's safe, it's reassuring. It says, don't worry, there's lots to eat, you don't have to panic. We're producing the fruits. So So green is very much a calming, it's quite a healing colour. So there have been research that found that when people can look at a green environment, they can look out the window and see plants, they're actually going to be out of hospital faster than if they're in some sterile room with no window or just looking at a wall, like a brick wall out the window. And I'm sure this is why the green scrub kind of started off. And in fact, the green room in television, because green is quite a calming colour. If we think about red, where is red in nature? Well, it's fire, it's blood. What do I have to do? Do I have to take some action? It's also things like a ripe strawberry, a ripe tomato. Pick me and eat me right now. So red stimulates us. It actually raises our blood pressure and makes us want to take action. It makes us want to do something. We associate it with passion and love. I think about red hearts. Those, the heart is red. It's passionate. It also can be angry. So when we're thinking about, if somebody has a red face, we'll often think that they are angry. So that is something else to think about. Often when we have too much of one color, it can go from any positive association to more negative association. So grays, so grays can be seen as quite sterile and dull. And gray could be a bit of a depressing color if used in too great a quantity. So therefore, it's, I often think about it's, where is the colour going? What are you using it for? How much of it do we want to have around us? There's all sorts of really fascinating colour psychology research that's been done too. That, you know, it's found that sporting teams who have red jerseys are more likely to win more of the time. You know, those versus who have black jerseys, like the All Blacks in New Zealand, their rugby team has a black jersey, actually more likely to get more penalties put against them. So, you know, there's all sorts of different things that we've got there. So when we think about yellow, it's the sun, it's sunny, it's fun, it's warm, it's friendly. There's lots of different things to think about with colour. And so this is why colour is so important. It really affects us and how we feel and how we react to things. There was some fascinating research done by the University of Durham from the 2004 Olympics. And some sports like Taekwondo, what they did is in those sports, people either get allocated a red or a blue jersey. You have no choice in this. It's not wearing your country colours and your country uniform. And then at the end of the Olympics, they analysed how much of the time red won versus blue won. They found that statistically significantly amount of time, the red won over blue. Then what they did is they digitally manipulated all the TV footage that had been taken of these matches. Then they swapped the jerseys over. Then they got international taekwondo judges to re-score these matches. And again, red won. So in fact, whether you got your, your gold medal or not could have been entirely likely was down to having a red jersey unless you were that much better than the other player. But I think it's because red grabs our attention. Red makes us look at things. Red makes us do things. So this is why red cars go faster, but they're also more likely to get more speeding tickets because the police see them much more than the grey car. So they're spotted from a distance more easily. So that's just a few things to think about with colour. It is quite fascinating. There are some cultural differences, but there's probably more, it's probably less so than it might have been many years ago without the advent of, you know, global television, the internet and all those things where we're so used to kind of seeing colours in certain contexts all the time. Next question. Julie says, if I'm ideally neutral plus one to two colours analogous, I choose a coloured neutral, would it look better if the colours were analogous to the coloured neutral? So do we treat the colour neutral purely as neutral or discount its colour? So I would say, like, if you, you can treat it as a coloured neutral, depends how coloured it is really, how obvious the colour is. Or, so you can have your kind of denim jeans, which is kind of your neutral. You could then choose a green and a teal top or something, which creates an analogous scheme. Or you could go, I'm going to have a, pink and a purple top, which is also an analogous scheme. But actually, they both relate back to the blue being the neutral, going just different ways around the colour wheel. So But you can, it probably depends on how neutral, how obvious the color of the neutral is versus if it's much less obvious or not. And it also depends on, well, your personality as well. I always think with this, remember that personality is so important, and your mood as well. Like if I want to feel like more bright and vibrant, like today it's a very gray day outside, I wanted to feel more bright and vibrant, so I wore my, you know, kind of pinky red top. It gives me a lift as well. So it's not just about, you know, other people. It's also about you and how you're feeling about these things. So you can think about, you know, do I want to feel more bright and vibrant? Do I want to feel softer? Do I want to stand out more? Or do I want to, you know, be less obvious? Because sometimes like adding a bit more color can also do that for you. There's no hard and fast rules about whether or not you really, really have to, you know, go the same way. But you could treat it as just a neutral, or you could treat it as a color and part of your analogous color scheme. Really, it's up to you. And our final question for today, let me have a look here. Yael's asked, any tips on what to wear to an engagement photo session? So I always think about things like engagements and weddings and stuff where we're going to keep those photos for an awfully long time. And we're also going to likely display them on a wall. They're going to be something that's framed and kept in our house. And it might be there for an awfully, awfully long time. It might be there for decades and decades and decades. So I always think about this as thinking about, well, A, where are the photos being taken? What kind of environment? Do the clothes relate to that environment? B, we want to be wearing something that's flattering us, but not too fashion in a way. We don't want to go, I'm wearing the latest fashion for the sake of fashion's sake. It wants to be something probably a little bit more classic. And then, so it's not going to be out of fashion, because it's always that sort of thing when we look at the photos on our parents' wall and other people's walls and their old photos, and we kind of laugh about, oh my gosh, do you remember that trend for whatever it was? Because they chose the latest fashion trend to wear. So I'd be looking at not too fashion, and then thinking about, you know, what you want to show. And it's often particularly because it's just not you, it's you and a person. I would be looking for more simple clothing rather than complicated clothing. Often a lot of photographers like to do a color scheme where everybody's wearing the same color, because it works often better in a photo. There's less going on as well. So it could be something about thinking about, is there a color that we both have in common, that we both look good in, that we both want to wear? And often too, this is why you often see black and white, you know, people just wearing black and white. And something more simple, so not overly constructed or overly complicated clothes. Things that are, you know, not too busy, I'd avoid patterns. I'd probably go for something solid over patterns. Just because too, that starts getting too busy, particularly when you've got two people wearing clothes. So really, I suppose it's thinking about, what do you want to communicate in your photo? So what represents you and your partner? And what kind of, you know, clothes represent that, who you are, how you want to be seen, how you want to be perceived by others. Do you want to be something more structured or soft and flowing? I mean, those are all sorts of questions you might want to ask yourself when you're choosing your, you know, outfits. And the other thing I would always do, particularly when you're going to be having taken photos, some clothes work much better in person. You see the movement, you see the dynamic, you see the 360-ness of them. In a photo, photos flatten you out a bit. They make you look wider and they take away some of the contouring, and whatever is closest to the camera looks larger. All those things go on. So something that may work really well in person may not work so well in a photo. So I recommend trying on lots of outfits and your partner as well, and then taking photos just with your phone and seeing which clothes work best and which clothes work together as well. That would also be something I would be looking at, is thinking about which clothes are working best and which clothes are working together, so that as a whole, your whole, you know, the whole photo works really well. But this is where taking your own photos, because you might think, you know what, even though this thing works fine when I'm wearing it in the photo, it doesn't come out how it looks in real life or looks in the mirror because it's lacking the movement. Some fabrics, it's the difference between the runway show where you watch the movement of the fabric and you think that's really beautiful, and then you see the static image and it just doesn't have the same wow factor. So this is where I would be taking photos, looking at those sorts of things before you make your decision. So Hopefully that's helped. I've got a little comment here, just going to have a little read of. Is there a sequence you should put your clothing types in the wardrobe in from left to right? I really don't know. Really, I think as far as left to right goes in Western cultures, we often read left to right. We often do things left to right. But really, I often find with wardrobes, it's about the where your wardrobe is, how your wardrobe is laid out, and how you access things in your wardrobe. So there's no one way of doing a wardrobe. Of course, just like there's, you know, no one way to skin a cat. But really, so I always think about with wardrobes is, where is my wardrobe hotspot? Where do I go first? What do I, you know, what part of the wardrobe is my reach into first? What's the easiest part? And I'll think about then, what do I want to put in that space? How do I like to organize? How do I dress myself? Do I dress from the bottom up, from the top down? Some people dress, so if you dress from the bottom up, you might want to put your bottoms in the easiest to access space. If you dress from the top down, you might want to put some tops in that space. Really, it kind of depends. And because wardrobes are laid outside quite so differently, some people have little cubby holes, other people just have one long rod. Some people have lots of shelves, other people lots of drawers. I really find that there's no one way of doing this. Should get jackets go next to pants? If you like to do it that way, I think it's really up to you about how you access things and how you think about putting your outfits together. This is why it's very personal that jackets could go next to pants, but they don't have to, because it could be about, I dress from the ground up and the jacket is the last layer. So I might have pants, skirts, tops, then jackets, depending on how I dress myself. Or I could go, I might start at the jacket. And I might go, I'm going to start at the jacket and then I'm going to do jackets and tops and then, you know, or maybe I do jacket and bottom and then I do, you know, tops. It could be, you know, there's no one right way. It's something really that you've got to experiment with for yourself. Because, yeah, it really is one of those things to think about. It's just which way round you like to do it. Or anybody else. Yeah, so eclectic outfits, eclectic wardrobe, okay if it's all over the place. Yes, provided you can find things. I think I like to keep types of clothes together in some way or other, like, because then when I'm looking at tops, I'm just looking at tops. I'm not looking at some jackets, some tops, some skirts, some bottoms, because when you're really looking for things, then you don't find things. But when you've got a more eclectic wardrobe, you might get dressed in a different way. So part of it is thinking about, what's my process? What do I do when I'm going to the wardrobe? And like, maybe it could be, I have one of my clients gets dressed from her scarf. So she has her scarves out on the wall and this amazing great big ladder. And she decides on the scarf and then she chooses a top and a bottom that go with that. And that's her process of dressing. There we go. It's a boutique. Yes, it's a boutique. So really, I often think it's how does it relate to you? The one thing I don't like to do is just hang things in outfits, because that really tends to be very limiting on how you'll wear things. Like if you have a suit, hanging the top and the pant together means often that you won't think about wearing the jacket with something else or the pants with something else, only together because they're hung together. So I really think about it. It depends on you and your way of thinking about how you will go about doing this. Hopefully you go, there you go. Hopefully that helps soon to see just how you like to do it. Because I think, you know, all these things, there's so many different variables. TARDIS. it would be great if you could have a space that small that would turn into the most enormous wardrobe. But yes, there's so many variables. Everybody does things in different ways. So I always think it's really important to think about your own processes, how you do things, how you access things, what you find easy to do. Do you want to have, you know, more open storage, more closed storage? Do you like to see things? Do you like to not see things? All those sorts of things really come into that whole wardrobing process and make a difference about how you want to lay it out in, as a whole, because that is going to really impact on how you use it. It's like any space that you use, that you have to think about how you use that space. There you go. Please come over to the blog, insideoutstyleblog.com, and, you know, find out more. I'll link to some blog posts that are related to what I've been talking about today. And of course, please do ask me questions to add to my my pot for forthcoming sessions. I'll talk to you later. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to Inside Out Style with Imogen Lamport. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast for more actionable style and color tips. And don't forget to visit insideoutstyleblog.com, where you will discover Imogen's encyclopedia of color and style advice to help you become your most stylish self. If you're enjoying what's here, please leave a review so we can bring you more of the content that helps you adore your wardrobe more, so you can get up, get dressed, and get out the door looking and feeling fabulous every single day.